This third Sunday of Advent, we could say, is quite popular among Catholics. It is a day in which we have the rose candle lit in the Advent wreath, one of the 2 days in the year in which we wear these rose-colored vestments that so many people like. It is a day in which we, in a very special and intentional way, rejoice and even try to rejoice because Christ is near. And we call it Gaudete Sunday. We take this word from the entrance antiphon. That's what we sang as we're processing in. When we said, and this comes from St. Paul, rejoice, that's Gaudete in Latin, rejoice in the Lord always. But we like this Sunday not only because of this simple, very human, but eloquent symbols of the colors and some flowers today that normally we don't have during Advent. But there's something even deeper. Joy is one of those realities that we all want for our lives. We can disagree in many things. We have preferences, tastes, etc. But there's no one who in his or her right mind will say, I do not care for joy. I don't want joy in my life. We all want joy. And it is truly wonderful that the Church, as a good mother, gives us this one day to specifically dedicate everything to joy. And what does the Gospel tell us today on this joyful Sunday? Well, we heard about John the Baptist in prison, and John the Baptist sending his disciples to Jesus with a strange question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And if we pay attention, if we really pay attention to this, it is more than strange. It is shocking. For there is nothing cheerful about this text. The greatest among those born of women, that's how Jesus called John the Baptist, the greatest among all those born of women is suffering in prison, alone, in the most unfair situation, and he wants to hear from Jesus if Jesus is the one who is to come, or if he, John, and his disciples have to still wait for another. There doesn't have to be a lot of joy, at least initially, for John the Baptist in this very dark place and very dark hour. Now, to be fair, some people explain this rather difficult text differently. And the other typical explanation is that John the Baptist sent his disciples not because he himself had any questions about Jesus, but so that they could get to be with Jesus and ask that question for themselves. The truth is that we will never know exactly what was going on in the heart of this great saint. It makes sense to just read what is in the Gospel. And what we know for sure is that John asked a question through his disciples, and the question was short but piercing. Are you the one? It is hard to make sense of the difficulties of the saints. It is very hard to understand their weaknesses, their temptations, and their struggles. Usually we think, even if in a subtle way, but normally we think that saints should be perfect or almost perfect, or at least people without big struggles like ours, people without big failures like ours. So, logically, we would ask, how could John the Baptist, such a great saint, one who prepared everything in his life, who spent his whole life in preparation of the coming of Christ, how could he, at the very end of his life, while he was in prison, ask a question like, Are you the one? I recently, just a few weeks ago, read again the book about the life, autobiography, of Saint Therese of Lisieux. And I was also moved and even shocked in one sense to realize more deeply than before the struggle she went through in the last year of her short life. She died when she was 24. By the way, Pope St. Pius X called Saint Therese the greatest saint of modern times. So we're talking about another very important saint. Evidently then, in the last year of her life, she was already living a very holy life. And that last year, while she was very ill, she went through a very difficult time and she had struggles about her faith in heaven. She had a very hard time simply believing that heaven existed. And it was a very dark time for her. And during that time in which heaven was not what we would imagine for someone like Saint Therese, but rather a question, then she wrote about that time. God knows that I try to live by faith, though, pay attention, though it does not afford me the least consolation. I have made more acts of faith in this last year than during all the rest of my life. And she felt, she described this in this way, that there was a wall, a very, very, very tall wall in front of her. She could not see what was in front of her. And we can only imagine how difficult this was for someone who loved God so deeply. But then, even though it was so dark and so difficult, she was able to write, "And in spite of this trial, which robs me of all comfort, I still can say, you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord." Very clearly, her joy was not in what she was feeling, because she was going through a very rough experience. But she found joy in trusting God, in making those acts of faith that were not necessarily the spontaneous overflowing of a very easy time of consolation, but rather an act of her will. I believe, I trust. And thinking about John the Baptist, well, clearly his joy was not in what he was feeling in prison, in such a dark and desperate place, in so difficult circumstances, knowing that he was going to die soon. But his joy was found in asking the question and hearing again what he already knew. Yes, you are the one. We do not need to wait for anything or anyone else. Now, we all have gone through something like this, I'm sure, no doubt. There are times in our lives in which we need to hear again what we know. And this happens even in our human relationships. We have friends, spouses. Of course you know that that person cares for you. But don't we all need to hear what we know? Yes, I love you. I am here with you. That makes a big difference. And in our life of faith, in our Christian lives, there are times when we just need to hear that again. We need to hear what we know. There are difficult hours when, rather than complaining because my life is hard or this is happening, we need to ask the question, are you the one? Are you going to take care of me? And being confirmed in what we already know is our greatest joy, because that's a kind of joy that nothing can take away from us. This joy, which is clearly so different than the many times superficial cheerfulness of our society, what we see these days in the streets, this joy brings true peace, because we can have it in good times and in bad. It does not depend on the circumstances or on the problems or illnesses or challenges. This comes from God. This is true Christian joy. In the entrance antiphon, as we were processing in, we heard another short phrase from St. Paul. He said, "Be anxious over nothing." Is that really even a possibility, to be anxious over nothing? And the answer is yes, it is possible. Because Christ is coming, because he brings us what we do not have. Joy is a gift that comes from God. And joy is a victory over circumstances and problems. Joy is a gift that comes from God through Mary, whom we call cause of our joy. So on this beautiful Sunday in which we need to receive the gift of joy that comes from God, which many times is quite different than the kind of joy that we want, on this wonderful Gaudete Sunday, let us pray to Mary that she will help us, intercede for us, and teach us with her example how to truly rejoice in the Lord, because he's coming very soon, because Christmas is approaching, because we're aware that he is the one, that he will never fail us.